With Hashem's loving grace, welcome to Emunah Beams with your host, Laser Brody. Today's podcast is entitled, The Successful Shidduch. Whether you're looking for a match for yourself or for one of your children, today's lesson is important food for thought. In Israel, there's an expression, we call it a kevet. It means a train. People use it here when there's a family with a bottleneck. One of the older siblings can't find a shidduch, so all the other siblings have to wait in line because parents here don't like to marry off a younger child before they marry off an older child. If they do, people then start asking, what's wrong with the older child, that the parents skipped over him or her? That's exactly the problem. When parents start listening to what people are saying rather than listening to what Hashem is saying. Sometimes Hashem sends a shidduch to a younger child before he sends it to an older sibling. Hashem did that when he sent a shidduch to Rachel before he sent a shidduch to Leah. So who objected? Lavan. And Lavan wasn't exactly the tzaddik of the generation. True, in the end everything turned out for the best, but not because Lavan wanted to, because of what Hashem wanted. Let me share one of my original parables with you. Now if you think the family I'm talking about is someone you know, then you should know it's nothing more than an invention from my imagination. Are they similar to anybody today? Well, it could be, but let's see. The imaginary family lives in Brooklyn, and they have what we call in Israel a rakevet, which means the train. That's the bottleneck of the five kids backed up, waiting to get married, with the oldest daughter, 27 years old, and the youngest daughter, 19 already. And in between, there's a boy at 25, and there's 22-year-old twins. Now, no one could understand why the 27-year-old daughter wasn't married. She was attractive and a special ed teacher with a wonderful profession and intelligent, but she and her parents had one mutual problem. They thought that anything less than the Lakewood Rosh Yeshiva's son wasn't good enough for them. Well, the parents got a phone call from one of the heads of a well-known Baal Tshuva Yeshiva in Muncie, and he heard about their daughter, and he told them they'd have a wonderful young man for them. The young man came from a family in Georgia, and he was a graduate of MIT, and he had a master's degree in astrophysics. Guy's brilliant. And yet, he left everything to immerse himself in Torah. And now, after 7 years in the yeshiva at age 31, a mere 7 years learning Torah, he already finished all of Shas, he finished all of Shulchan Aruch, and he earned rabbinical ordinations from several leading rabbinical authorities in Muncie and Borough Park. Not only was this young man a brilliant Torah scholar, but he would pray slowly and with tremendous kavanah. And what's more, the whole yeshiva loved him because he was so kind and thoughtful. He was always willing to do a favor for someone else and always willing to help one of the new boys with his understand his learning. Well, the girl's father didn't exactly like the fact that the boy was a Baal Tshuva, we call it BT, and the fact he was from Georgia. So he asked the Rosh Yeshiva, does he at least come from a family with a good lineage? Well, the Rosh Yeshiva said, tell you the truth, the parents claim to be Jewish, but they really don't have any proof. They belong to this Messianic community, and because of that, the son did a complete Gyur L'Chumra. He did a strictly Orthodox conversion as soon as he entered the yeshiva. This was in his first year. Well, at that point, the girl's father interrupted, Rosh Yeshiva, if you were a Shatran, I'd have slammed this phone in your face. But since I respect Torah scholars, I let you speak. But where do you think such a redneck yokel like your student is suitable for my daughter and our family? Well, the Rosh Yeshiva, he took a deep breath. He already knew that his student deserved a family with much better character than this guy's. He said, sir, we're not talking about what you call a redneck yokel, but this is a Torah scholar who happens to be an ordained rabbi, and he's a scholar of impeccable character. When you're at Shemayim, in fear of Hashem, and he will definitely be one of the greats in the next generation. You just wait and see. But I understand my mistake in calling you and ask your forgiveness. So even though my student has the potential of being another Shmaier of Talia and Rebbe Akiva, I agree that he's not for your daughter. I'm very sorry. And the Rosh Yeshiva politely wished the father well. He ended the conversation. Well, a few days later, the father received another phone call, but this time not from Rosh Yeshiva, but from a high society shatran who was used to being paid $5,000 from each side. Why? This guy was a specialist in blue blood shidduchim that people sought after. He told the father about a 29-year-old boy who graduated from the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. And this boy happens to be the great-grandson of a monumental Torah scholar whose books everybody learns. And his grandfather was one of the heads of Agudas Yisroel. and his father is a Rosh Yeshiva in Flatbush. Well, the boy is a financial genius, and he learns half day, and he works in investment banking half day. Well, the girl's father was enthusiastic about the shidduch. He never even bothered checking up on the boy. Well, what prestige to be married into that family. He never asked the boy questions about the boy, why the boy was still single at 29. And enough case. The couple got married, and don't ask what happened afterwards. Under the chuppah, yeah, they look like the couple of the year that should be on the cover of Mishpacha magazine. But a week after the Sheva Brochas, they were at each other's throats, and 6 months later, they were divorced. Now, let's imagine that Hashem gives us a look in the heavenly archives to see what happened with these two shidduchim, the one that was offered and the one that took place. Well, Hashem had this perfect shidduch, the first one, for this 27-year-old girl that would have made her happy, and it would have succeeded under one condition. If she would have learned a bit of humility, and she and her family would have brought their noses down from Mount Everest. Well, the young Baal Tshuva, he happened to be a spark of Avram Avinu's soul. He also had the wonderful qualities of our forefather Abraham, and he had a father just like Terach, and no blue blood lineage. But the girl's family turned down this hope diamond of a boy because of, quote, what the neighbors will say, unquote. So since they turned down a spark of Avram Avinu, Hashem let them hang by their own rope. Okay, lichus is what you want, fine. He takes some yichus. Have your lineage you want? Okay, you can have lineage. So Hashem let them have a spark of a blue-blooded family from a prestigious blue-blooded tribe. The boy they so readily grabbed up, they grabbed him up so fast, he was a spark of a wonderful family. Family of Eliav and a wonderful tribe, the tribe of Reuven. But he was a spark of Dothan and Aviram. And he subsequently buried their daughter alive, just like Dothan and Aviram did, who joined forces with Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu. They buried themselves and their whole families alive. That sounds like I've got a pretty vivid imagination, doesn't it? Well, today's false world of shidduchim, with all these ridiculous resumes that people demand that aren't true in the first place, what happens in today's world of shidduchim, an Avram Avinu or Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have a chance. Neither would Leah Imenu or Rachel Imenu, because they didn't learn in Beis Yaakov, and their father Lovan was the head of the Syrian mafia. Now stop and think. Look who Joshua married. Joshua was Moses' most prime student, and he was from the prestigious tribe of Ephraim. But guess what? He married a hooker, Rahav the harlot. I'm not kidding. It's true. What do you think would happen if a leading Rebbe in New York City had a son who brought home a convert who grew up in a Puerto Rican family in South Bronx, and she used to work the streets? Wow, that's exactly what Joshua brought home. Why? Because of her midas. Rahav had perfect midas. Her character traits were impeccable. She was so loyal and dedicated to her family, and once she converted, she had the same loyalty and super dedication to Hashem. And guess who her offspring are? The Gemara tells us, Jeremiah the prophet, Ezekiel the prophet, Huldah the prophetess, Baruch ben Neri the prophet, just name a few. Look at the wonderful kids she had. Now, how many people today would refuse a shidduch with King David because his great-grandmother was a convert? And how many people today would refuse a shidduch with King Solomon because his mother was a divorcee? Yet the same people jump at shidduchim with a Korach or with a Dothan or with a Aviram. Why? Because of money and lineage, and they had both. Well, the reason people are delayed in shidduchim is because one of two reasons. First, either their egos get in the way, or second, they want something that Hashem doesn't want for them. Hashem wants us to look for a good heart, for good character, for emunah, for piety, for modesty. When a person looks for the wrong thing, they miss their train and end up waiting for the next train, which just might not come so fast. So if your shidduch is delayed, don't be so quick to blame Hashem. Assess yourself and your priorities. Ask Hashem to help you find someone who together you'll be able to get close to Hashem. For sure, Hashem answers such requests, usually without delay. So keep on praying and don't stop asking for Hashem's help. Look for the good heart. Look for the midas. Look for the emunah. Look for the Yirat Shemayim. And God willing, you'll see a big salvation very soon. Amen.